All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies Chuck and John. Gentlemen, it is morning. It is actual morning. We like to let our listeners know when we actually record in the morning. How are we doing? John, you don't look good.
I'm in mourning.
Oh, like the, yeah, you've got the sackcloth and ashes.
I'm not doing well.
Yeah.
And not doing well.
Well,
Chuck, you look pretty good. You're fully dressed.
Yeah, I just
like you got a Chuck has a like a button down open,
resplendent regalia.
Yeah, a very Technicolor dream coaty.
You look like that thrift store.
Then with a nice t-shirt underneath that he's bringing attention to. Mm-hmm. Wearing a hat, even though it's like 75.
You look like
the stocking cap.
An extra from Mallrats.
Easy.
That is. Very accurate.
Y'all can't kill my vibe. You want to know why?
Why?
I brought breakfast, Joe.
We noticed you. There is a mystery brown paper bag.
As did I.
Yeah. Oh, John did bring breakfast.
Again, this is as much as people love hearing eating. We're going to try it out.
We're going to eat on air.
They are going to eat.
John.
So turn John. Your Bose noise cancellation. Go ahead and grab those to make sure you can get.
So
every
right now,
noise.
As we speak, I'm cutting into it. This is a Taco Bell. AM Crunch Wrap.
A ceramic knife.
That is an actual AM Crunch Wrap. I've never seen one before.
This is the AM Crunch Wrap. This is the
sausage. What is that?
Yeah.
It is the sausage, country sausage AM Crunch Wrap. It's got a hash brown, sausage.
Scottish food.
Egg, cheese, and some sausage in it. It's amazing. And I'm about to eat it. Goodness. Here we go.
So we've actually started periscoping, and so I know you podcast listeners can maybe catch up on this, but Chuck is eating the breakfast. John and I have never seen it. John, it looks worse than I could have imagined.
You need to at least put some mild sauce on that.
Show me that. Bring that gray sausage.
Mm. How it is.
This is the Taco Bell.
It's Jimmy Dean.
Is that haggis? Are you eating haggis?
So what else did you do?
In Scotland, they call that cheeseburger.
So you're having the breakfast. You're having the breakfast live.
Yeah.
You have the crunch wrap. Mm-hmm. Did you bring anything else?
Yeah.
That's a whole bag.
There's more food here.
John being ill?
John drank till 2:45 in the morning. I got a text at about 3 saying, please come pick me up. I'm dying, Chuck.
I thought that would work.
Also, I see a lot of cheese. See a lot of cheese.
What we have here is the biscuit taco, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit taco.
Oh, that is the famous biscuit taco.
How did they
flash
do that?
Fried? Why is it?
It's just
that is not flash fried.
It
is deep fried.
It's an act of science and engineering.
That is dark fried.
This is dark fried. I'm going to try it now. Here we go. Awful.
Is so, that a potato cake? What am I looking at?
That's absolutely the worst thing I've ever had.
Why is there so much? I guess that's nacho cheese. I can see it on the wrapper. I actually was wondering
just
why
doughy.
It has cheddar cheese. So you did. I mean, did you bring any to share, or was that all for you?
No,
just the whole bag.
No, that was
The pièce de résistance.
Oh, and then we got a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. So I actually requested. I'm having a breakfast of donuts. John got the gas station Krispy Kreme donuts right here.
Being guarded by a policeman.
I'm enjoyment. Well, you want
to
make sure.
Policeman standing right next to the Krispy Kreme thing, and I sitting there trying to decide, how do I make this joke?
Well, yeah. It's like, what was he actual? That's like performance art.
So I just picked up the donuts and went,
He understood.
Yeah.
He got it.
I think you guys, yard stare.
I think you guys messed up by letting me eat on the podcast once.
This will never happen again.
Okay.
Smells like apple.
All of our misophonia listeners we've lost for life.
Let me get some more out of here. Okay. Oh.
All right.
Taco sauce.
Let's maybe shut that down. John,
you can put that in a drawer in your house forever.
John, you're the man here with no food.
Yeah.
Did you have a breakfast? Did you have a chance for a breakfast this hungover morning?
I had a breakfast and then let the breakfast fly out my window on the way to your house.
What did you get, and what happened to it? I'm confused.
I ate 2 oranges, and oranges are acidic.
Uh-huh. Right.
When you vomit oranges, it hurts and you cry. So I had to have a little moment to myself in your driveway before I came in.
Wait, is there vomit in my driveway?
A little bit.
Hey, did you kick over some dirt on it or anything?
Well, it was just kind of, it just kind of looks like sputum. It's really,
ugh.
It's bad.
All right, so that's our that is our breakfast talk. I guess we can probably wrap that up after our breakfast talk.
Might want to.
And it might be time. This is some of our worst, most horrific opening ever. Chuck, why are you still eating?
I'm just, John, you can talk about vomit all the time. I'm going to eat my
This is worse than last week where you guys kept saying butthole.
All right, so this is a very good time for our breakfast in bed apologies. We start each show after our breakfasts with the breakfast in bed apology. This is our chance to make right what we got wrong, to make amends for anything we said in previous episodes, or in sometimes, in the case of John and Chuck's lives, to actual things they've done to people in their lives.
Humans.
To actual human interactions. But do you guys, do we have anything that we need to make amends for?
Well, yeah, I'm going to apologize to Luke Walton.
Oh, Luke Walton.
But you know what? I don't have to apologize to Luke Walton. Luke Walton has no wins.
That's true. Luke Walton's still winless as an NBA coach.
It led to Jeff Van Gundy using the word fiat in a
that's hilarious.
In an interview where he, I think, was comparing the NBA to the Nazi regime. Not sure, but it was pretty strange. But yeah, so I want to apologize to Luke Walton, but I don't have
to. So Steve Kerr, again, with a perfect record on the season.
Yes.
Luke Walton has as many NBA coaching victories as I do.
Yep.
And as you do, dear listener.
Just keep on trucking, Luke.
Just keep on trucking, Luke. Maybe one day you'll... and I assume he's making not much. Although, do you get... That's actually an interesting question I would like to look up. When you are named in... Because he's not even officially an interim coach. You know, like, do you get a bump in pay if you're the one actually calling the timeouts? Hmm. Like if you're an assistant coach and you're called upon to fill in, I don't know.
Perhaps there's some sort of overtime timeout call. Timeouts called.
Oh, he's getting paid time and a half.
Yeah,
time and a half. That's good. Chuck, do you have anything you're sorry for?
I'm sorry to the Toronto Raptors. I thought Lou Williams and his two girlfriends leaving you for L.A. would destroy this just pure machismo that you guys played with
Jonas
last year.
Jonas Valanciunas ate those women and stole their power.
It seems to be because it's Toronto Raptors. Early in the season. I'm sorry. I'm
just going to be bilious now. Oh,
sweet. Hey, this is what happens when you eat Taco Bell.
The Raptors.
That immediately smells.
The Raptors are 5-0, and they're doing well. They're scoring. They're playing good defense, and they've turned something into, you know, a turd sandwich into something decent. So I'm sorry, Toronto, or the horrors that I bestowed upon your team and thinking that you weren't going to be good this year.
Skinny Kyle Lowry has come through.
Skinny Kyle Lowry's a thing. Tamari Carroll's playing Deese.
I'll put a little put a little water on that fire.
Hmm. Tamari looks bad to me.
I was going to say, we've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that we have.
This is the November. I mean, this is they've done it before.
Yeah.
So again, you hope they stick it out. DeMar DeRozan,
the Roro will fall back,
and even he's actually scoring on people.
Yes.
Don't bite. I'm sorry. I was going to say my thought was cut off. He's scoring at the foul line a lot, utilizing a pump fake. People.
Yeah.
Don't go for the DeRozan pump fake. Also, don't go for the Nikola Mirotic pump fake while we're at it.
Or
he just pump fakes and pump fakes. He doesn't shoot that well.
Nikola Mirotic is the new Paul Pierce.
But Paul Pierce would always do the pump fake. But Paul Pierce could shoot the basketball at a good percentage. Like, he would hit
Mirotic is a streaky shooter.
Very streaky.
Right.
My breakfast in bed apology goes to, and I knew this would happen, goes to the Charlotte Bobnets.
How did you know this would happen?
I knew it. So preseason, especially when I thought they were going to be bad, when Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, every time, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist goes down, this team is in trouble, like 20-60 type trouble. But then when the preseason started, they were playing a faster pace. They obliterated the Clippers all over the Asian mainland. Actually, was that Tokyo? Maybe. Anyway.
There's a joke here, and I'm not going
to
do it.
They went to the Far East, you know, and killed the Clippers. They played at a very fast pace. They shot a lot of threes at a decent percentage. And I was like, do we believe what we see in preseason? But after starting a little slow, after doing their traditional Kemba Walker has a chance to win the game and doesn't come through routine, They've won their last couple games by a lot and shot a ton of threes at a great percentage. They extended Jeremy Lamb, and it would seem like a vaguely questionable, even though we're still in that year of any signing is a good signing because of the rising cap / onions. But still, he has looked great. I mean, very small sample size, but he's been hitting his shots, been very efficient.
A bunch of my Twitter ding-dongs praised the Jeremy Lamb signing or acquisition, and I replied to all of said Twitter ding-dongs with LOL. And now, who's LOLing now?
I did make a joke.
It ain't me.
I'm on an email thread with a lot of Hornets fans.
What?
And,
what are you talking about?
I don't feel that needs any more explanation. And I was needling them with, hey, anytime you can lock up the backcourt for one of the worst teams in the league, you got to do it. But then they responded with the, well, you know, with the this is only 5% of the, and I was like, yeah, I'm just making fun, guys. Yeah. But he, again, very
it's a
short
gag lady.
And then, but then the interesting, the flip side of the Jeremy Lamb situation is the comical, and I'm not apologizing for this, the comical not extending, not exercising the third year of PJ Harrison for a meager $1.25 million, which
where's
is...
Where's your rising cap now?
Exactly.
Rex Chapman and fans.
And PJ Harrison is currently starting for them, and they didn't even want to take him for like the cheapest salary he could possibly get, which I think is interesting. But I
look,
guess...
The man in the high castle there is still Michael Jordan. This will all come crashing down. He's going to bet the franchise on a coin flip. With John Daly on the 17th hole.
That's very true. All right, so those were our breakfast in bed apologies. All right, now for our steak and eggs. What's the best thing you saw this week? What is your steak and eggs best thing?
Loving the Heat's comeback against the Rockets this week. They're down 20-something in the first half. Basically went on a super run. To start the third quarter.
64-25 second half.
Yeah. Ended up winning by 20-something. And
hey, just... why don't you shut your ass? Because that win cost me a massive parlay.
I remember that text message.
That parlay was cashed, brother. I turned that game off.
I love it. Yeah, anytime the Heat win and John lose, it
that was a life-changing parlay.
Yeah. It would have. What would you have won if they...
What the hell happened?
It just looked like James Harden decided to forget what efficiency meant, and well, they were turning the ball over like crazy.
James Harden. The Rockets went small, and it worked for a while, and then the Heat must have made some sort of adjustment, because I looked back up, and I was like, wow.
Dwayne Wade three. Has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not to mention his Thursday night steal the ball, do a 360 spin, launch a half court, and just nail it in the most casual of fashion.
And then to win by two gives you a little like, yeah, every shot counts. And I've never got the – and this, I think, is a thing our podcast that we can all agree in. Your stupid shooting percentage is not worth me losing out on a made last-second three-pointer from the half
this
court.
This is – for our season one listeners, this is one of my
– That's Keith's
– little pet projects. I would
parrot. Parish pet peeve.
I would love the NBA to change that rule. I'm going to repeat myself. Mm-hmm. If you shoot in a half-court shot and the buzzer goes off while the ball's in the air...
Don't count it. Desperation play.
So then, yeah, it's just a free... It's a free roll. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a missed field goal. Because also on Thursday night, Jeff Green had a play where he had a half-court shot, took a dribble, because he's struggling with that three-point percentage. So these things are like, I don't want to ruin my three-point percentage. But he makes the three, which he knowingly took after the buzzer. You know, because all these players are always like, oh, I'm going to take an extra dribble and it's not going to count. Guys, we're trying to win the game. Just
it's
irksome.
It's like a quarterback not
throwing a Hail Mary.
Throwing a Hail Mary at the end of the first half.
Exactly.
Can we go on a slight Heat, like a little
jaunt?
A Heat diversion?
Yeah, Heat diversion.
Oh, okay. Goodness. I know what this is. I know what you'll do.
So I'm watching every Heat game this year.
Okay.
The Heat are my Eastern Conference team. I'm dismayed with the play of Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
They are false prophets, false idols. they're bad.
I'm not seeing it from Whiteside.
Dragic is not impressing me at all.
Whiteside is horrible at defense. They are when he's on the floor, opponents are 101 points per possession, like points per possible possession for the game.
Yeah.
When he's not on the floor, the Heat are only giving up like 70.
That's like do you think that's 30? Sustainable? That's so short.
Man, yeah. When you watch him.
From the Heat I've seen, because I actually thought about, I was a Whiteside doubter.
Right.
That I was worried that he would regress. I don't think he's regressed. He's doing the same thing. His pick and roll with Dwayne Wade has been unstoppable against teams. They can't figure out how to stop him. He threw up that 90% shooting and 15 boards and 5 blocks game.
Yeah.
Again, that wasn't a loss.
Whiteside is.
I was also going to say that. All of his big numbers are coming at the times when the Heat need them the least.
But Dragic.
When they're blowing ass.
And we also need Dragic.
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 Yeah, some of us say.
That's what I say.
It's a
Dragic.
I know, it's hard, but Dragic. He has also
chased the dragon.
He might have had the outlier season.
Absolutely.
That second team All NBA or third team, whatever it was. He does not look comfortable, but I don't think it's for me. The Heat have been. I think a lot of people were predicting them to do pretty well and be the top of the Eastern Conference. I was more hesitant, but so far early results, I like what I see.
Bosh and Wade look awesome, and Justice Winslow looks awesome.
Looking good.
My only hope with that is that Dragic is taking his, you know.
There's another one.
Dragic.
What are you even saying?
Drog itch.
Drog itch.
Can you even say Bosch? What is wrong
Bosch,
with you?
Christopher Bish is my favorite NBA player. Yeah, so Goran. Dewanye West. So Goran, I'm just calling that from now on. He's just, I think he's going to take a while to assimilate to the offense.
Have you noticed he pouts during plays on the court?
He does get a little.
You didn't pass it to me.
I feel like we're reading.
Slavic face.
He has, I think we're reading too much into his facial expressions.
Long story short.
Right.
I have chosen a new Eastern Conference team.
Already? I did the same thing.
It can't be the Heat.
I did the same thing because I can't watch the Bucks.
I can't watch
every minute of the Bucks like I pledged to. There's way too much Jared Bayless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jared Bayless scoring 27 is making me sick.
He'll do that.
Can I imagine the team that will now replace the Heat as your Eastern Conference team?
I'll give you 3 shots.
And it is the Detroit Pistons.
You said it, brother.
Who are last in the NBA in field goal percentage.
Right. 94 points a game.
Stan Van,
allowing 93
I think Stan
points
Van
points
gave up on Stanley Johnson 2.5 games in.
Mm-hmm. It is the slowest yet mightiest form of basketball that can be played.
Mm-hmm.
It's so old school and disgusting and grotesque that it is hysterical.
I have also watched a ton of Detroit Pistons
postmodern basketball
so far. Let's not get distracted.
Okay, yeah, do your thing.
My steak and eggs. Last week, we didn't mention the Warriors until the dying breaths of the show. My best thing is Steph Curry. I don't going macro.
It's hard.
It's unbelievable. When will it end? I don't want it to end. It's amazing. Yeah.
So in that fateful game, the Chris Paul face game
right.
against the Clippers, Steph Curry has his worst game of the year.
Sure.
Gets in foul trouble. Still put up a butt ton of points.
So in the Grizzlies, I thought when you said fateful game, I thought you were going to mention the 50-point Grizzlies game
What game? I don't remember that.
He went off in the third quarter. I think scored 21 points in the third. The game was blown out. He had finished like 30 in 20-something minutes. His PER went down. His PER was, went from 51 to 50.4. He currently has more points than minutes played. This is...
Yeah.
The best point guard play ever, just because there's no comparison for someone who shoots 60% while launching 9 threes a game.
From all over the place. What's scary is that his handle is as terrifying as his shot. And when other teams, like, for instance, when the Clippers would take DeAndre out in that game that I keep referencing for God knows what reason, I get another California battle. when they take the big guy out, he goes inside.
Yeah.
He wiggles in there. And nobody can touch his handle. He does whatever he wants. If you don't have a rim protector in, he'll beat you that way. And when you put the rim protector in, he'll just shoot from 40 feet.
He also hits these circus layups. And a lot of time, these slight guards, the smaller guards, have taken after Allen Iverson and Dwayne Wade, who started the fall down and throw your body onto the ground to emphasize contact to try to draw fouls. So I'll see Steph Curry do a move where I'm like, oh, he just kind of threw himself down to make it look harder because it looked crazy hard. And then on the replay, it's like, oh no, that person was intent, like being like, I need to foul him so he doesn't make the circus shot.
Right.
And he's making all this, he's still making the circus shot
layups. He also has a wonderful celebration after he hits those. He like pays tribute to the gods and raises.
The hand up, yeah. The little tap, as Riley Carey has mimicked very cutely. John, did you have a steak and eggs this week?
Andre Drummond.
Yes, going back to the Pistons, you could have tied it in there.
Dominating the league with zero post moves and shooting like 33% around the rim. How do you do it?
He's a Moses Malone up there, just throwing the ball. I mean, he was looking for the 30-30 game.
He had a couple of rebounds where he got in a kind of a scrum with the guy that he was rebounding with, and he started laughing at them while he was pulling the rebound away. He was laughing. It was audible on the court.
Do you think that the Pistons have, they started fast and then they dropped most recent game and looked pretty poor?
Right. And I think that's going to happen with their style quite a bit. When they're going to be kind of Georgie Porgy. And when they're going to be bad, they're going to be really bad because they're relying a lot on 3-point shots.
And all on their starters, there's been no. Steve Blake is, I think maybe 2-for-17 on the year. And it seemed like Stan Van gave up. Jody Meeks is out for a while, and then Stan Van got
Steve Blake having a hot wife is one of the weirdest things that ever happened. Man, do you know what Steve Blake would be if he wasn't an NBA player?
He would be
a virgin.
I was going to go for occupation, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Effectively. That's, John had this set up. All right.
Stockboy Kroger?
That was where our delirious hungover John is very pleased with himself.
It seems to be the only John we get on the podcast now.
It is the only.
Well,
we might have to have a season two intervention with John to make it. Only 30 more weeks, John.
I'm eating healthy.
All right. That was our steak and eggs. What's the opposite of that? The cream of week. Worst of week. What's the worst thing?
Maybe we can change it to the whatever the hell Chuck just ate. What was it again?
The AM Crunch Wrap. Country Sausage AM Crunch
Wrap. We've heard about these things before on the show, but this is the first time seeing them.
So my worst of the week. I don't know. It could have been my best of the week. Guess how many minutes Nick Young, Swaggy P, has played with Kobe Bryant? 370. I didn't give you a chance.
That's too many.
I was going to let John guess because I knew it from reading
guess
this.
Guess how many assists Kobe Bryant has received from Nick Young. The number in 370 minutes, what equates
three.
To 0.0.
You know, I was reading Kobe
that
Bryant.
That rounds up to zero.
Kobe Bryant has more shots than passes.
Right.
Not assists.
Passes.
It was neck and neck there for a while. I think after three games, it was 56 passes and 51 shots.
Oh. It's super tragic that, you remember when Spike Lee did that Kobe documentary?
Yeah.
Why couldn't it have been this season? And I could see the pitch too. It's like, oh yeah, it's Kobe's last year. I'm going to document like one more great year for, you know, the next greatest player ever after MJ, or third greatest player after MJ and Patrick Ewing. I can sell this. You know, it's a Mars Blackmon thing. I can do this. And then he starts, and I mean, you'd be yelling cut pretty early on this one.
Yeah.
Because Lord have mercy.
So, no assists.
Well, Kobe knows he's bad. Like, he said it out loud, I stink right now.
200th best player in the league,
yeah.
Well, he was upset about that. Maybe he's accepted it now.
Oh, of course. It's about time he did that.
Pau Gasol said he was surprised to hear Kobe said that, you know, that Kobe announced that he freaking sucks, and which is not surprising. I assume anyone would be surprised to hear Kobe express any amount of humility or self-awareness.
Self-awareness would be more. Yeah. It's amazing that this, I guess this is kind of how I hope for LeBron's career to end. if it's anything like this, I'm going to be so happy. But LeBron's never going to get the 5 rings.
Swaggy P also showed up in a college football commercial for some reason. So he's official.
Don't know anything about
it. He's mainstream media. He's in it. He's like a character in it. And they're like, hey, it's Swaggy P.
Well, that's why he's in LA. He's getting that brand.
I guess so. Speaking of that, wasn't true.
Speaking of assists, this is a little non sequitur. Hassan Whiteside got his 7th career assist.
Boom, shakalaka.
Big.
It was a, I am hopelessly double teamed and can't get this shot up. He threw it out to Gerald Green, who hit a crazy 3. They all count as assists, boys and girls. They all count as assists. My cream of wheat is the Pelicans and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, you were our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner last week.
Shooting about 32% for the season.
So I'm wrapping this all up into one giant crunch wrap. The Pelicans, I hated what they did with their roster. It's been saying it for a while. It's now, I know you have injury problems, but many of them are guys who have injury problems. And it's not out of the blue injuries. It's guys with injuries histories being hurt. And then this Alvin Gentry transformed the offense. After 4 games, the results are very poor. Anthony Davis has an offensive rating of 96 so far, which is not good. Last year, he had a 122. It seems like he's getting it in these positions where he's creating off the dribble and doing pull-up jumpers, which is like gross.
I don't understand the way they're running that offense.
Get the man in the paint.
Right.
And then get him out. Inside out. I sound like Charles Barkley, but I believe it here.
Yeah. Jump shooting teams do not win something, sim something.
Yeah. Metrics.
I can feel that.
Well, I wonder if perhaps, you know, he's the type of guy who needs a creator around him, who isn't meant to be like, primary scorer is not the right word I'm looking for, because he should be your team's leading scorer, but like, he needs a ball handler. He needs, like, the offense probably shouldn't run through him with him, you know.
He's not the guy that you hand. His form of brilliance is not, here, have the ball 25 feet from the bucket.
Yeah, it's
go.
Like, it's like, oh, Lord, here he comes. He's coming from everywhere.
Right. It's just, yeah, he takes over the game in all the different ways. John, yeah, do you have a cream of wheat?
Well, it would be very, very easy to do the Grizzlies yet again. After last night's piss-poor performance for the Portland against the Portland Trailblazers. But we'll save that for the Grizzlies epilogue. Instead, I'm going to go with, did you guys see LeBron James step over Kevin Love instead of helping him up?
I didn't.
Okay. So LeBron, who is, I think he's talking out of both sides of his mouth here. Or I think his actions belie his words. He's calling Kevin Love the focal point of the offense. Kevin Love's playing very well. However, Kevin Love, who now looks like Bjorn Borg with that headband, by the way, falls to the ground.
Has Kevin Love always had curly hair?
I don't know what's happening.
What is going on?
Yeah, what is going on?
Has he got a perm?
I'm uncertain.
That's my question. We need to get to the bottom of that.
He might be doing a hot oil treatment.
Kevin Love has gone from looking like Pop Goes the Weasel third base member to like dirty, nasty, scrungy 13-year-old in PE class.
Yeah, he kind of was like on some, you know, MC Search kind of in the face.
Okay, what?
Okay. Well, you did Pop Goes the Weasel. It's MC Search.
Is he in that band?
Good grief.
Group? Am I saying it wrong?
It's a group.
Group? An outfit?
An organization.
Yeah, the third base organization. But, so basically, instead of helping him up, just coldly steps over his prone body. And Kevin's like grasping for him, and he doesn't even look at him. And then at the very end, look of disdain.
Live ball situation?
Oh, yes.
What was that on the court?
No.
Just
whistle.
Yeah, whistle.
Whistle gone.
I mean, it was
dead ball.
Yeah, yeah. It was like truly like, oh, gosh.
Ghoulish.
Yeah, it was like, whoa, these, no. Okay, he hates him. It was one of those moments like remember when like Kevin McHale would clothesline somebody and be like, oh, he hates that guy. This was more. There was no actual violence, but I could feel the like, it was like, right, Kurt Rambis, Larry Bird,
right,
1987.
Yeah, this is like,
oh, dear, but these guys are on the same team.
This is that Rudy T punch in the face.
But Kermit.
Kermit.
The punch.
Yeah, but just
John
with his
Feinstein
eyes.
Is going to write a book about LeBron James stepping over Kevin Love. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. All right, so those were our cream of wheat worst of weeks. Now for our Waffle House Presents, and we've really been all in this already this morning where we're giddy with exhaustion and weird food. Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts, brought to you today
by Comcast Xfinity.
By Comcast Xfinity. So a little update on my Comcast story from episode one, which the short version was I tweeted randomly something about Comcast and how League Pass was available online for Comcast customers. And then out of the blue, they said, hey, buddy, we'd like to send you an iPad. And I told them to send it to Roni Cycli at my address. Not sure what was going to happen. But here's what happened. And actually, I'm a week late telling this story. They pretty much overnighted it. It came within 2 days of them tweeting at me, addressed to Roni Cycli.
Via Uber driver, if I
so, well, I don't. I still don't know what the Uber driver was for. with a handwritten note inside says, "Dear Roni, we can tell you have a love for great TV. We're happy that Xfinity On Demand helps you get your entertainment anytime, anywhere, on any device. So we'd like to show you some love, Roni. Meet your new iPad Mini.
Ooh.
Happy watching Xfinity. So when I got
Roni.
When I got the box, as we said. I was nervous what would come in the box. I'm still a little nervous. Getting an iPad out of the blue from Comcast, it's similar, I think, to maybe like getting a Christmas present from an uncle who abused you as a child who you hadn't spoken to in a while.
Trying to buy you off.
It's just awkward and disconcerting. Right. Like, this is, why did you send me an iPad?
Right.
Comcast sucks, but it never fingered me.
So
maybe we should take it easy on that.
I mean, they're doing this. So I took the return label. The return label when the box came, because again, I was still operating under the idea that perhaps Comcast Twitter was hacked or something.
Right.
This is a very elaborate ruse, mm-hmm. and someone really wants to send me a box.
Like you didn't pay attention, and the O in Comcast was actually a a zero.
Right.
Yeah.
and the blue check mark was actually just a PDF.
A picture.
Verified.
So I Googled the return sender and it was a PR firm based in Philadelphia. And there's like a girl's name and I found her on Twitter. It's like, she has a Twitter profile. That's like, I work for this PR firm. So I was like, all right. Yeah. So Comcast has hired a PR firm that said, let's send people randomly iPads. And now I'm doing it. And I guess I'm spreading the goodwill of the word. But here's the thing. Comcast is the very worst. The fact that they just steal money from everyone, like if you have auto draft set up, you have to check that like every month because they will just bill you for random things and they'll double charge you and all mm-hmm. these things. And then, so the fact that they've stolen this money and now they're like, let's send a few people some iPads mm-hmm. and that'll get you maybe some grassroots media, some public.
Well, yeah, they probably had an algorithm like we have over 1,000 followers on Twitter and we complained. So they're like, give them something.
And so they're hoping that I tweet. I haven't tweeted anything about getting the iPad overtly or thanking them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do, it will be negative. It will be, I cannot wait. We in Nashville are on the Google Fiber countdown.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yeah, that's going to be some wait, brother. Power listener, dumbass neighbor Lane.
Yes.
My neighbor, he is furiously tweeting positive things about Comcast Xfinity League Pass in an effort to also score an iPad. Good luck to you. Good luck to you, Lane.
But I haven't opened the actual iPad thing because I'm just going to take that to Target or Best Buy and get store credit because I still don't fully trust that there's not some kind of phishing software or listening device in that.
Malware.
Yeah, in that. Okay.
Trojan horse virus.
So now back to the NBA. I would like to point out early season, one of my favorite things is tracking who's doing really poorly in really small sample sizes.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been a little disappointed. The Jacques watch. To see who can break my favorite record of Jacques Vaughn starting the season.
Can we get like one of those
Jacques watch
sound effects from a like news program? Like it comes in Jacques watch.
Well, I think if we make it to next week, which I'm doubtful we even will, but so far there's only two really people going.
Explain the Jacques Vaughn.
Well, Jacques Vaughn missed his first 22 shots of a season,
mm-hmm.
which was, that's a record.
Mm-hmm.
So currently the only people who are even keeping an eye on are Terry Rozier, 0 for 6, and Donald Sloan, former hedge fund manager, 0 for 5. And these guys are, I mean, this is your average NBA fan walking on the street, doesn't even know these guys. Mm-mm. So I'm actually disappointed. This
Terry Rozier has bigger problems right now.
So what's this
he
is,
on?
He is the Louisville sex scandal.
He is?
Well, that and Russ Nicholas. Yeah. Russ Smith.
Yeah.
My wife adores Russ Smith because he has cats. He has Instagram accounts for his cats, and she like follows him. She keeps me up to date. And she's like, I just love this Russ Smith.
You know what else Russ Smith gets?
Cats.
Prostitute.
So that's where I texted my wife. I'm like, I can tell you a thing that will make you not like Russ Smith. I just want you to know that.
Took incredible glee in that.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, she's like, I love this Russ Smith guy. His cats are precious. And I was like,
yeah, well, he gets horse.
I was like, just so you know, there's a thing I can tell you that you would not like.
He gets horse from an old Italian pimp.
All right. So I'm just going to pop around here. James Harden, who we talked about earlier on the Rockets, he's on pace to miss 754 threes. The NBA record for threes attempted is 678. He's missing over 9 threes a game.
He and Mai Tai aren't gelling as well as one would.
Rockets are also the first team to lose their first 3 games by over 20 points.
Yeah, big time. They just they seem disjointed. But, I mean, you've plugged in a new piece in Mai Tai Lawson. Dwight Howard hasn't been 100%. And is going to play himself into shape. I think Harden might be doing the same thing. And look, James Harden loves a strip club. And maybe
what can
it's
I
just
say? I like it a strip club.
I like it a strippers. Who goes to a strip club every night for years and is efficient at any job they do after the second or third year? It's going to eventually get to you. So maybe he needs to tighten up.
I think the Vince Vaughn guy from True Detective season 2.
Maybe.
Oh,
he got better.
I think he would. Maybe that was his. I think that was his career path.
I didn't watch that season.
You guys have to watch it. It is.
This titty bar is full of flat circles.
It is so. It's so bad. I feel like it needs to be in the public consciousness of what happened.
I think it upsets you that it's not in our lexicon. That you
it really does.
Yeah. You just want to be able to say
it's
random
so
lines from
it's
it.
It's so hilariously bad.
Yeah. I watched two episodes and complete like almost through.
Yeah.
A remote.
Jaw to the floor.
No. No.
Anyway.
Self-loathing gay guy. That's tired. Oh, no. Another. Oh, jeez. Oh, she's a sex addict. You got to be kidding. Oh, why is he yelling? What is happening?
Yep.
Unwatchable. Oh, anyways. But I want to get back to the Rockets.
Yes.
I this is some confirmation bias stuff, but Kevin McHale sucks.
You kind of have been saying that for 2 years.
Kevin McHale sucks. I don't know what happened they got so good last year.
This is the where, because you have been saying for a while that this is...
He sucks. He doesn't know what he's doing.
A chicken little sky is falling.
Yeah.
It's finally falling. This is also what's happening in Grizzlies universe.
Where, oh, Jaeger sucks.
No. I would say all these...
Jaeger sucks.
All these ESPN people are tweeting like, well, we've thought for years this wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It's like I've been saying the Grizzlies are overrated for 6 years.
Yeah.
Looks like they might be.
Yeah. Got him.
Yeah, it's like called it. Billy Donovan struggling down the stretch, perhaps with some basic coaching things.
Well,
Thunder have lost 3 in a row now.
This is true. However, quoth the, is that Stephen A. Smith? I don't care. I don't think we've seen the Durant that we'll probably end up seeing this season. And I also think, like, if they're going to become effective as a team, it can't just be Russell Westbrook running wild all the time.
What about Enes Kanter grabbing every rebound?
Okay.
I
want to talk about this. He has the second best rebounding rate in the league behind Andre Drummond. His offensive rebound rate is insane. But... Again,
also their team defensive rating has been unaffected by him being on the court, which is good. That's a good thing so far.
But this too will pass, as my grandmother would say, because we know we have enough stats to know that Enes Kanter is a terrible rebounder and a terrible defender. And again, as you'll become tired of us saying this for at least a couple more weeks, small sample size.
Speaking of Twitter user Cavs Nada. Brings us to my attention. Anthony Bennett's per 36 numbers, 14 points, 36 rebounds, 7 steals, wait for it, 28 fouls, 22 turnovers. Those are some per 36s. That was 14 points, 36 rebounds, 7 steals, 22 turnovers, 28 fouls.
That's like they let a cheetah loose on the court.
100% from the field. 2 for 2, I believe.
That's you actually mispronounced his name. It's a former number 1 overall pick, Anthony Bennett.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Canadian.
That's how you spell it.
That's right.
Fix that
the
for
Spurs
you.
Big 3 became the winningest trio in NBA history.
They're so boring.
Got their 541st wins.
All they do is efficiently win games and usher in a new world order.
I bet you can bet your balls that Parrish, Bird, and McHale had way more Bud Heavies after each game than they did.
Yep. Get some Coors Banquets.
Yeah.
For those mother.
Holy Lord.
Do you guys have any? I'm curious, who is the either most disappointing or which team were you the most wrong on after, say, five games? I'll start. Hornets. Let you guys, you say Hornets?
Yeah.
I guess the Pelicans.
Everyone thought they were a 50
games. I just
games.
Thought when you have
Not
that,
me, brothers.
You didn't. But I just historically in the NBA, when you have a player that great, it's hard to lose a lot of games. But that they're, you know, looking like they're just going to be stinky.
But I can't think of a team with that is built like the Pelicans. Like that is one great player and then
trash.
Bombs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when we think of like the good Shaq teams and the good Rockets teams and the good big man teams surrounded by quality players, like franchises right. that were properly built. The Pelicans are in disarray.
I was going to say, this is one I was wrong on, but the whole rest of the world was right.
What's that?
And I'm still not giving up on my over.
Oh.
But the Nets are truly like the worst team.
Yeah.
I thought they would just be bad. I just thought they would be run of the mill bad. And I still think, again, because they have no incentive to they need to win games. So they can still, you know, pull out the 29 or 8 or whatever wins they need, but they have been not frisky.
When your owner, who's basically the killer from Manhunter or I guess Red Dragon for those of you millennials out there or whatever.
Brett Ratner fans.
Hey, Brett Ratner peeps. When he shows up and starts teaching you coordination drills at practice, it might be time to throw in the towel. The two things I've been most pleasantly surprised about are Kristaps Porzingis is wonderful.
Porzingis.
He is wonderful like we wanted.
Yes, and then Keith Parrish's Nuggets prediction looks pretty good. They look frisky.
They're frisky. I'm feeling great about the over. They're not even as good as I hope they would be.
Right.
And their arena is empty.
But you were very excited about them, and to the point where I put my money behind it.
I would also say...
And I think that over is a cash.
I would also say another thing. I think the definition of vanity is, John, you and I were both really high on the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
So as I'm watching my favorite team get housed by the Trailblazers, I actually feel kind of good.
Right.
Because I'm like, well, I called it. I think that's a very...
But back to the Nuggets.
Yeah,
they're not world beaters, but hey, they beat the hell out of the Lakers and Swaggy P last night, so I mean...
And D'Angelo.
Oh.
Yep.
I think I have a game of scones.
Well.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have a game of scones?
Yeah, Swaggy P, we were talking about him earlier, and I was thinking about some of the things he says.
Okay.
Kind of how he's a silly person. We had a game of scones before about
game
two people.
Of scones.
This one is, who said it?
Oh, again. Is it Jaden again?
No.
Is it Jadakiss?
It's Nick Young.
Okay.
And the immortal Lil B the Bass God.
Oh.
Oh, this is good.
Are these tweets?
I lost.
Different quotes from all over.
I lost my only other Game of Scones appearance.
Yep. So here we go.
Who goes first?
John. John's the champion. So here we go. Quote, I leave a presence. I'm like Michael Jackson, Prince, all those other guys.
This is impossible. Can I say both?
Nope.
Did they say it in unison?
Can I steal?
I'm going with Swaggy P.
Ding, ding. He got it. John's got one.
He's incredibly confident.
I felt very confident about that answer.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not going to let anything take the love from my heart, the love of my life and spreading peace and positivity. Thank you, Earth. I'm alive.
Base God.
Yeah. Maybe this isn't as hard as I thought it would be.
Well,
all right.
Keep flying.
Keep it coming.
You underestimated their cultural impact.
All right. Everybody had a little pock in them yesterday. West Side for y'all.
Base God.
Wrong.
Ah,
Swaggy P.
In a southern accent, even.
Yeah, you threw me off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was it.
All right.
Here we go. I'm not wearing Jordans no more. Can't believe what I just seen and heard from MJ. Elvis done left the building.
Base God.
Yeah.
That is Swaggy P.
Oh, holy. The balls on this guy.
I thought I could have pulled the head there.
Man. Jordan's going to find him.
Hold on. Is milk supposed to be drunk? If so, what kind do you drink? What's your thoughts on milk? Someone else said adults shouldn't drink it.
What's your thoughts on milk? Base God.
Base God it is. Base God it is.
It was too, it had a little bit of humility.
Do you have another one to see if I can tie?
Here we go. My mama told me, never leave nothing on the table.
Nick Young.
It's Nick Young.
Yeah.
That's correct.
All right.
Are we in sudden death or should we just wrap it up as a tie?
Yeah. Let's do it. This is on a quote from an interview about a blind date with a 40-something woman.
I'm going to say Base God.
Do we even need a quote?
I just couldn't get over the fact that I was sitting next to a parent, like my mom or somebody. It was pretty awkward. Pretty awkward.
I'm going Base God.
That was Nick Young, ladies and gentlemen.
What is going on? All right, Keith, this is for the win.
This is the last one.
The last one.
Either a tie or a win.
That's one. It's sad how good fast food tastes and how bad it is for you. Can you not believe it's more McDonald's than bus stops?
What, the Base God.
Yeah.
Yes! I win!
Damn.
Deal.
That was good. All right, now...
Your knowledge of hip-hop culture is greater than mine.
Okay, now for our awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse Shopping of Pancakes around. Award goes to the worst performance in a box score. We had a bunch of games, a full week of games to pick from. Honorable mention, Sauce Castillo has the green light in Philadelphia.
Stauska.
5 for 19, Let It Fly. Ooh. Iso Joe did the 1 for 10. And then the entire Matt Barnes season is performance art. But I've narrowed it down. Our three official candidates presented to you chronologically. Kobe Bryant in a loss to the Mavericks at home. 3 for 15, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 5 fouls.
Jesus.
Our next nominee, he's on pace to shatter the missed three-points record and three-point attempt record. James Harden, in the aforementioned loss to the Heat, he was 2 for 15, 0 for 10 from downtown. He did as he do, got 16 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds.
From the stripe.
5 turnovers. And then Brandon Knight for the Suns losing at the Clippers in a game in which he, Bledsoe, and Markieff, I believe, combined for 70 misses.
Wow.
That might be a slight exaggeration. Maybe it was 50. It was awful. But he was 4 for 20 by himself. 12 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, took care of the ball, 1 turnover. So we have Kobe Bryant, 3 for 15, 5 fouls. And we have James Harden, 2 for 15.
I vote Kobe.
5 turnovers. And Brandon Knight, 4 for 20.
I vote Kobe. That's a putrid performance, followed by 5 putrid fouls.
Pretty bad. I feel pretty good about James Harden.
It's a good one. And also, what that game cost me...
Your parlay.
Financially, and also, how do you shoot your way into a 40-point differential like that?
He also is, again, he's shooting, I think...
Never giving up.
16% threes on the year. I know we're not trying to look big picture.
Uh-huh.
So who do you want, Chuck? I think it's between Kobe and Harden.
Yeah,
so
I'm kind of torn because...
Who do you want to go?
Because you have Kobe...
Break the tie.
It's like the last season. It's like picking on him almost because he's like a wounded old...
It's like picking on the elderly, Chuck.
Hey, man, the bully gets their comeuppance.
You know, he was like... He used to be the alpha male in the gorilla pack, and now he's just been like relegated to sniff buttholes under trees.
There's that
no longer again. The mighty silverback.
No. So I feel bad, but... Kobe Bryant is awful, and is the reason why the Lakers organization is going to take 10 years to rebuild. So I'm going to put him on this list for that fact and that fact alone.
So Kobe Bean Bryant.
He's back.
You are back. I believe third career iShop award.
Up where he belongs.
Mm-hmm. Up where he belongs. Congratulations, Kobe Bryant. You are this week's winner. Okay. Our par fadeaway before we get to our Grizzlies epilogue, which will be lots of weeping and gnashing of teeth. What are the things we are looking for? I'm curious if the Evan Fournier show continues. He had a similarly
so
hot
weird.
Start last year, but this is an even greater. He's actually playing 40 minutes a game and lighting it up.
I just want to see more Kristaps Porzingis.
The rookie class, even.
Yeah.
There's so many. I feel like we've had a dearth of rookie performances.
We whiffed on Stanley Johnson.
Clearly. Right, right.
But Kristaps, that dunk, come on.
It's his, everything. He seems to be such a good player.
And when it looked like he got hurt, like the injury looked a little serious, my sadness was overwhelming. It was like, you know, like when Larry Bird got injured, you know, when his head bounced off the court in that Pacers game. It was like, no. And this guy's played like six games. But that's it. Just more Kristaps. Chuck, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to,
What about next week? We're going to the game.
Oh, yeah. Birthday's next week. We're going to Memphis. We're going to be at the Memphis Grizzlies Golden State Warriors game.
Funeral.
On the 11th. Yeah, we might bring pyres.
To hear more, stay tuned for a Grizzlies episode.
Well, I would say, I think the giveaway for that game, this is Jason Wexler, Memphis Grizzlies staff, if you're listening. I think the giveaway should be like those like surgical gowns that cover you from gore.
Yeah.
Like the morgue
like
attendant
a Gallagher
wears.
Concert, like a Gallagher.
Or a Carrot Top. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Like they should pass those out. Like your team is about to get just murdered.
Unfortunately,
in front of you.
The game's on Veterans Day and it may start some poor guys having PTSD flashbacks. Oh. So you're going to see such gore.
All right. So we're going to talk about that right after we end here in the Grizzlies epilogue. So stick around if you're a Grizzlies fan or if you just want to hear more of Chuck, John, and I being weird. So thanks for listening. If you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. If you write us a review on iTunes, that is the biggest thing you can do.
5 stars or GTFO.
To help us out. It raises us in the ratings. Thanks
Buy a shirt.
Yeah, at fastbreakbreakfast.bigcartel.com. I would say thanks for all the people who have written us reviews. We really appreciate it. All right. You guys have a good one. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Thank you, Base God.
All right. Grizzlies epilogue. First of all. Yeah, that's the proper noise. Here's the thing. The Grizzlies are 500.
But their
point differential.
It's like 5,000.
Is like the...
It's like Premier League soccer when you see a team like, oh, look at how those results are. Oh, my God, they've given up so many goals.
Well, so luckily, unlike Premier League, the Premier League, you don't punish goals against.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies could, I'm not saying they will, the Grizzlies could win 50 games and have like one of the worst point differentials. If they keep losing by 30 to every
good team,
and not even counting the Trailblazers, as high as John and I were on the Trailblazers, we're not really counting them as a good team. So let's dial it back. They lost.
I don't want to dial it back.
They lost to the Warriors by 50.
Oh my
and
goodness.
One of the worst performances.
They scored 69. They lost by 50.
Part of me was
a 10-point quarter.
Part of me was entertained that the Grizzlies were like, oh, we're out of this. Shut it down.
Yeah.
Just shut it down.
Yeah. No more minutes. Let's get who was getting major tick in that game?
No one, because they'd still play the
Jermichael
Green.
They don't even play the guys until in that game they're down 45 and like Russ Smith doesn't come in until there's 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like, what do you
that was not a Jaeger. Jaeger didn't shut it down. Like Mark and Zach like looked around, were like, hey guys, we are not gonna get hurt in this game.
So right. let's
and we are not gonna try anymore.
Right.
So then they bounce back. You know, they bounce back. They won at the Kings.
Boogieless Kings.
Boogieless Kings, but still, winning games on the road, second out of back-to-back, and it's the same thing they did early in the season. They beat the Pacers, second out of a back-to-back, on the road.
You are putting some lipstick on this hog, Keith.
I'm trying to balance that the world is not over.
I'm a doomsayer.
Also... Yeah. We've said it before. This is the season where there's a good chance in the Western Conference, 44 wins gets you in the playoffs. It looks like there's going to be five. It's not going to be, there's not going to be a Phoenix Suns winning 48 and not getting in this season.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a lot of mediocrity.
Yeah, but you see optimism there.
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to say optimism.
Okay.
I'm just trying to balance it out. But now I'm prepared to say lots of negative things, John. Go.
If the Grizzlies win 44 games and go to the playoffs and play the Warriors, they're going to lose a game by 100 points. And I'm going to throw myself off a bridge like Tony Scott.
Oh, gosh. Ugh.
So that is yes, that is one argument. There is no option.
Look, let me just explain the full range of my emotions. Next week is Chuck's birthday. We are renting a van and an Airbnb, and we are going to Memphis to watch the best team in the world. Normally, that sounds pretty good, right? No, I am dreading this like Christmas. And, if you like Christmas, well, your life's better than mine. Because I hate Christmas. I hate it, hate it, hate it. And now I have to go.
This is self-aware, John, too. No, this is amazing.
This is a live text from a scorned Heat fan. This is where it's unfolding in front of us. This is what happened to me in the summer of 2014.
We're going
to
be rolling down the road.
So,
and everybody's going to be laughing and smoking dope and being an oblivious and I'm going to be sitting there going, they're going to kill us. Draymond Green. Green's going to get a triple-double. Steph's going to score like 40 before he sits out the whole second half.
You need to go.
Harrison Barnes is going to make a bunch of three-pointers and probably dunk on my favorite player, Marc Gasol. Everybody's going to be super sad. We're going to go to Ernestine and Hazel's. Somebody's going to get some bad blow. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to ruin the Airbnb. I'm going to lose my deposit. Probably going to wreck the rental van. I don't want to go anymore. Chuck, your birthday's canceled.
Here's the thing. You need to unplug yourself, John, from
spinning out.
You're just going to pay tribute to one of the glorious teams we've ever seen in our lifetime.
That's true. They're going to win like 71 games.
Insane.
Let's now talk
Fire Dave Yeager. Fire Matt Barnes.
So let's talk about the roster.
I'm excited about them trading for Mario Chalmers. This is a nightmare.
Mm. This is our rare Venn diagram joining of our two teams with this Chalmers thing. Is it done? Is it dead?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Can it even work?
The most likely scenario is somebody sends a pick to someone to take Vince Carter,
right?
Or to take, because like Miami wants to shave the salary. They don't want to take on the salary, and their roster is pretty full. They're not going to do a 2-for-1. Bano and Chalmers can't be swapped even. The numbers don't match quite right. But so if Vince Carter is sent to like Portland or wherever, someone who can absorb his salary, and then they, you know, like a three-way.
Memphis is so desperate.
But here's the thing. Chalmers cannot create his own shot.
No.
And doesn't shoot very well.
But check this out. Memphis is so desperate for a backup point guard, they're willing to trade for the player who has the most hated play in Memphis sports history.
That's true.
Here's one thing.
Drained a three-pointer to knock the Memphis Tigers, which is still the biggest basketball team in Memphis, out of the finals.
One thing that I find kind of weird, normally we don't speak ill of Grizzlies fans in the Grizzlies epilogue. One of the funny things about Grizzlies fans is they are so attached to the Memphis Tigers basketball program.
Oh, yes.
That I'm not saying Mario Chalmers is good or a good addition, but they're like, I don't want that guy because he hit a shot against the Tigers. I do want Jarnell Stokes, though, who is not an NBA player. Like, guys, we can't. There's no reason to hang on. Jarnell Stokes is easily replaceable. There's a guy in the NBDL who's better than him.
Jarnell, Nana thinks he's slow.
Right.
Stokes.
So my biggest concern is I feel like everyone looks slow. Tony, Zach, Mark all look sluggish. I assume they're all going to get there. More concerned about Tony losing a step, because that's no good. I've been talking about it for a year. The backup point guard, we can't have Bano.
Right.
He's known for not being in shape. The fact that he's like 34 and hasn't learned a three-pointer, like the fact that he hasn't added three-point range, that just has started to irk me more and more. He's in full-on accelerant mode where when someone's on fire and like he just stands there and Dame Lillard's like, oh, wait, this guy is not even going to raise the hand. I'm now going to take my time, line it up. There, I made another three. Like, these guys get into the zone when he's on them. I think Yeager is trying to play too fast. Again, like, we're all trying to get into this world of we need to be faster, we need to score more. It's like, not if you don't have better players. Like, it's like the football team that isn't as talented and maybe slows the game down. Or same with basketball. You slow the game down, fewer possessions, and then when it gets to crunch time, the Grizzlies excel at crunch time.
Yeah, but
so they're speeding it up, and it's like they're pulling away.
We're five games in. But you can color
six
me
games, five, six three games. And three.
But you can color me Chicken Little because I think Dave Yeager has lost the locker room. I don't think they want to play for him. I don't think they're going to play for him. I really have a bad feeling about this, Keith.
I think you're saying something right there. I think the team is looking. I feel like the team, it's possible.
They want to change or something.
I've never loved. Here's, I guess, the next level. I feel like Yeager's body language to me has never struck me as like, let's follow that guy.
No.
Like, I'm going to follow this guy into battle. And that might be just weird pop psychology of me just watching this guy in a basketball team.
I don't know. He had that goatee.
And the goatee. I wonder if also the players, especially this old players, like, you know, a Tony Allen is like, oh, you're going to start me on the bench again, or we're going to try Jeff Green until it's going to fail. Oh, it failed. Like, I wonder if they're tired of that. Like, why are we doing this over and over?
And it's not
just
Yeager. The front office moves are boneheaded.
They have been recently.
Look at them. I mean, Matt Barnes is a disaster.
I don't.
He's just augmented everything that's wrong with the Grizzlies.
I think if he hustles, he hasn't hit his shot. I feel like his effort is there, and I like that he shoots unconsciously.
Right.
At the very least, he's firing up the ball when it goes to him. I don't know. I am nervous.
He and Jeff Green are the same in that they both try so hard and suck so bad.
Well, Jeff Green not choosing to guard anyone.
That's weird.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Also, and this was pointed out on Twitter. I didn't even notice it. I was just kind of glazed over watching them get killed so bad. like Tony Allen wasn't even guarding Lillard or McCollum.
Yeah.
He was guarding Aminu. And Alperovic Aminu has actually had a really good start to the season.
Yeah, but I don't care. That's
why isn't Tony Allen guarding CJ McCollum?
Yeah, my Twitter was aghast.
It's just crazy. So the Grizzlies have the insanely difficult November. Right. And we knew this going in. We hoped that their continuity and their veteranness would save them and they could pull out a good record. Like, I think it's easy to remember, again, we have a long season, and I think they're still going to win the games, like, you know, that they need to win. But I no longer think they're good. Yeah. As in, like, I no longer, they're not. And it's we thought the West was six teams, the Grizzlies were in the six teams.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're... Yeah. And maybe they can get there, but I don't know.
The days of getting up 2-0 on the Warriors are gone.
I don't know what moves can be made. Like,
they need like a kind of a culture changing trade or something.
I want
a coaching change, something like that.
I want like a Brian Roberts, like a Ronnie Price. I mean, these are small dreams, small backup guard dreams.
We're not even thinking big here.
And then those are the people I wanted in the offseason, which like, why can't we get these type of people? A CJ Watson. Oh, man.
You guys are so sad.
I'm not as distraught. I guess I'm distraught where last year I thought they were title contenders, and coming into the year, I thought they were fringe, just getting the playoffs and you do your slow ball and just, and again, we haven't seen a good Mark. Like, Mark has been out of it. And so I don't know.
Been eating all that paella with that.
I wonder what Robert Pera has been kind of quiet recently. And he's that young owner who seems a little crazy.
You know, Robert Pera was at that Warriors game.
I think he's training. Purposefully built a bad team so that he can sign himself.
Yep. So
a picture paints a million words, right? Or a thousand words. Let me paint you a picture. Before tip-off, Blazers game, went through my phone, silenced, do not disturb all my Blazers fans' friends, because I knew we were going to lose. And I had a feeling we would lose badly.
That's rough. They still have a chance to bounce back. And again, if they can win, I want to say 4 of the next 10. It's not gonna be big of a problem. They're gonna be a couple of games under 500, and the schedule gets easier. But it is all the stuff around the Grizzlies. If the front office feels bad, if the coaching staff feels bad,
they've got a funk. Grizzlies have a funk to them this year.
It seems like they have a funk. I agree.
So they're like a smelly guy, a smelly guy in a room.
It's just the funk, the old piece of fruit that's in the bowl.
Yeah, well, what stinks in the fridge? Oh, it's the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are stinking.
So this is a very dark Grizzlies epilogue. They keep getting obliterated the night before we'd record these.
Prove me wrong, Yeager.
We're now 2-for-2.
And John shows up hungover.
He does.
So there's a definite bit of self-soothing in his booze consumption after a loss.
I spread my misery.
All right, so that's our Grizz epilogue. Sorry we can't give more hope. If Chalmers come,
what the hell is going on?
All right, you guys, thanks for listening. You guys have a good one.
Arrive safely.